All right. Hail Cheaters. The Champions League final has concluded. I am down the shore. I'm in Sea Isle City, Brandon, which is south of Atlantic City. Have you ever been here before? It's my first time kind of on the Jersey Shore, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, once I get to Atlantic City, I stop. I don't go any farther south because, you know, once I see a blackjack table, I'm stopping.
Doesn't get any better than that.
I'm not going to move on.
Yeah.
Speaking of gambling, though, Josh, Pep Guardiola is the lord of all of the people who have ever walked into a casino and placed a bad bet.
Oh, God. You know, it's funny. I have gambling stories for you in a second, but let's what a joke, right?
Yeah, I guess before we get into the negative with Pep and Manchester City, we have to extend a congratulations to Chelsea Football Club. And, you know, I support a team that's across the road at Craven Cottage. We got to a European final once, and I will say, who's better, Josh? This is a great way to kick off the conversation. Who's better, Thomas Tuchel or Roberto Di Matteo?
Okay, I mean, the Di Matteo thing was crazy because, like, they were winning, like, miracle matches, right? Like, you know, the Barcelona game was crazy. Even the Bayern win, you know, where they get the, like, last-minute Drogba goal and then...
Sure. Aguero was totally set up for his Drogba moment. Yeah. And
yeah, and I think you watch his match and you just, like, it did not feel that way at all. It did not feel fluky. It felt like Thomas Tuchel came in and basically turned them into a Champions League winning team. Like, there's no...
Yeah.
You know, I think it's such an interesting... contrast with what we're seeing with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer this week, right? Which is just like everyone seems like there's a whole contingent of Man United supporters who seem kind of fine with him. And I'm just like, well, look at what Tuchel just did. Like, why not try to replace your B-plus manager with somebody who is better, you know, and just see what he can do. So
right. The commentary around Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is all about his passivity, and that's why he will never take that club anywhere, is because he is probably one of the most passive managers to manage a team in the top four. And, you know, while Pep totally blew it today, you can't say that he was passive. He had an idea of what he wanted to do. It turned out to be a pretty poor idea, all things considered.
His idea was, I'm not going to play defensive midfielders. I'm going to play my backup right back in Kyle Walker, which is basically his role now that Cancelo has become the starter. And I'm going to play Raheem Sterling, even though he's been out of form for an entire season. Like he weakened three positions going into this match, it really showed. So George, by the way, I see George has joined. You're welcome to join us on this conversation.
Yeah,
George, you're doing this at a very funky time. So you know, I don't think it's not going to be the customary 20-30 people that we normally have for this.
Sorry for those tuning in on the podcast. We are inviting people to speak with us. So. Just as an FYI for future Always Cheating Locker Room sessions, join us on the Locker Room app for your iPhone, and you can talk with us as well. George, I think I just dropped you out of the chat. we're a little new at this, but I just going back to what you were saying, Josh, about the lineup changes that Pep made. The commentary would have led you to believe that Pep's idea was, I have one extra player now with no defensive midfielder to break down this Chelsea defense. And
I mean, it took an absolutely amazing pass from Mason Mount to break through. I mean, that was one of the, I don't know if this is like hyperbolic or not, but it feels like that's going to be one of the great passes in Champions League history, right? I mean, it was beautiful. It was just absolutely split the defense.
Yeah.
I mean, Havertz really couldn't miss. That pass was so good. You know, really
incredible. Pass, I don't want to take anything away from the pass because I think it was exceptional from Mount, but the City defense was at sixes and sevens there. Stones completely pulled out of position and Zinchenko on the wrong side of Havertz to defend in any way, shape, or form. So I think City's defense was a bit poor there. And then Connor, I'll let you jump in here in a second, but I just wanted to say regarding Pep's tactics, if he thought he was going to break down that Chelsea defense with extra attackers, they could not control the ball in the midfield at all. They didn't have, but I mean, maybe one shot on target the entire time. So he was really playing himself there. What did you think of the match, Connor?
Well, I think the second half, the defensive play by Chelsea was immaculate. Like, it was so good. Like, they played, I think it was like the 5-4-1, actually, with the counterattack from the midfield. And it was unbelievable from Chelsea. You know, they played unbelievable football. You know, they just made everything happen there.
Yeah, I mean, that block from Azpilicueta, maybe 75 minutes into the match, was incredible. That one where it was, I can't remember who, I think it might have been Mahrez who crossed it, and
because I think you know, Man City, they were good, but they didn't have, like, they didn't test the keeper enough. Like, they had a lot of like balls in the midfield.
Right.
Like, they go down the line, put it back.
Connor, and Mendy's shaky too.
I was going to say the same thing, Josh. I mean, Connor, I wouldn't rate Edward Mendy among the top keepers in Europe. And I totally agree. Just even if you're taking shots from 20 yards out, you've got De Bruyne with one of the best, you know, right foots in Europe, and they didn't take a single shot.
So bad for him.
Yeah.
That was very shades of Mo Salah getting injured. Though I will say, when Salah got injured in the Champions League final against Real Madrid, we do have –
It made a massive difference.
A huge difference, but we also have Sergio Ramos to blame for that. That was a Cobra Kai-esque foul, and intentionally so.
So what did you think about that KDB situation?
Well, I thought Rudiger, it was a clumsy challenge on Rudiger.
I think it was very clumsy, though.
Yeah. That moment, though, where the referee pulled Rudiger up and gave him a – I mean, the referee, I talked about the mount pass a minute ago, but – I mean, I wonder if our takeaway from this match will actually be the refereeing performance. I mean, it has to be one of the all-time great refereeing performances.
Incredible.
I think because there was this handball shot when Reece James is like, it hit his body and then his head, and I just like, you know, and they're all up in his face, and like, I don't know, like, I just think, I think the manager, sorry, not the manager. Oh my god, the referee did very well.
I agree, Connor. In the age of VAR, these referees are under all sorts of fire.
Yeah, they're on so much pressure.
So the fact that he was exerting that confidence.
The game at Stamford Bridge between Chelsea and Barcelona, there was like no VAR back then, and you see, like, if there was VAR back then, it might have been a way different scoreline. It might have been like 2-3-1 Chelsea. You don't know.
Yeah. So who do you
Gabriel
support,
George,
Connor?
If you guys want to jump on, by the way, feel free to.
I don't support anyone in the Premier League. I support Bayern Munich.
So if we're talking about Top Chef, you came into this Champions League final with having one immunity. You just won the UCL final. You're just kind of there having a laugh at.
I think when we lost to PSG, I think we really were relying on Robert Lewandowski. I think we just missed him. I was about to say 11 goals.
Though I guess as a Bayern fan, you don't love to see Chelsea win the final because that was heartbreak for Schweinsteiger last time around when that Di Matteo squad beat Bayern Munich.
Yeah, I don't really like Chelsea, but I don't really like Man City either. So, like, it was a bit of a loss if anyone won it, really. But I would have preferred Man City to win it, to be honest.
The ownership groups make that one a little tricky for a neutral. What the right political choices to make in that situation. But it was I don't know. I thought it was. Hey, James, how's it going?
Yeah, we've got always cheating legend, James Bishop, the Red Dagger, joining us.
How do I speak?
You're speaking right
spoke.
Now.
We heard you. Okay.
James, red or dead, you're a Liverpool fan. What did you make of that match?
It was absolutely awful.
What? Wrong.
Terrifically boring. Pep is an idiot for not playing a proper lineup. And
that doesn't necessarily make the game boring.
I'm over the non-striker thing.
Carry on, sorry guys.
All right.
No, I thought it was okay. I thought it was kind of a okay game. not great. I mean, listen, Liverpool Spurs was awful too. So
there's a British term that I feel like it has become popular that like it's not caught on here in America yet, which is sorry. You can. Sorry. there's a British term that hasn't really caught on in the U.S. yet called shithousing. I feel like that's like I felt like it was really epic like shithousery from Chelsea the last 30 minutes of that match or so. A lot of injuries.
Sorry about that, guys.
Don't worry about it. It's been a lot of like taking 1 or 2 minutes, which you know, like I think is like totally fair and like what you see in cup finals. But I also watched the championship final earlier today, and I was like, okay, I need like a break from shithousery for a day.
Let's come back. Let's come back to the championship final.
About the substitutions for Man City.
Yeah, go ahead, Connor.
I think Gabby Jesus was a super substitution. You know, like there's Aguero on the bench. Like they brought him in like 75th minute. Like. Way earlier, in my opinion. Way earlier, they should have brought him on. And I just think that's what they were missing. They were missing a striker. That's what they were missing the whole game, a striker. They had good width, but it's just a role in the middle. And that's what they need. And that's why they need Haaland, to be honest.
Haaland or even Harry Kane. I mean, it's more of a woo-woo way of looking at it, but I think Pep trusts...
They need that striker role.
That's the point, though. Like you don't play a striker, and you wait all that time, and then you finally bring on the greatest goal scorer for Manchester City ever, and you leave him on the bench till the 70-something minute. It's crazy, you know.
Pep trusts himself more than he actually trusts narrative. I feel like in a game like this. You know, whether it's the World Cup final or the UCL final or I don't know. James loves football because of Major League Soccer. So you know, James, if you're watching the MLS Cup final, you have to trust in narrative to a degree. And I brought it up before. You go back to Chelsea, Bayern Munich, and Drogba putting that corner kick in the last moment of the game, and then having the last kick in that penalty kick shootout. This game just was screaming for Aguero. I really believe
100%.
I had a feeling Fernandinho was going to do something at the end because, like, it was his last appearance. Was it 350th game or something? But, you know, imagine
340,
at the end. That would have been inspirational. Like, that would have been so cool.
I mean, sorry. So let's talk about one other. I'm gonna jump over everybody here. All right. But I had a fun experience today because I'm in New Jersey, and in New Jersey sports betting is legal. So I had a I had a day of sports betting. I lost all of my bets across the board. I'm on like a I had one bet last night that came through, which was who is going to get to 10 points first, the New York Knicks or the Atlanta Hawks. So I won that bet, and I was feeling good about things. And I've lost the 17 bets I've placed since then. So it's been a wild ride doing this FanDuel thing. Like it's pretty fun, I have to say. Like,
am I right by saying we're all from America? That's like just a put out there. Like, what states are y'all guys from? Because I'm from Wisconsin.
Interesting. I'm from Michigan. Josh is from Michigan. James is from Merseyside, but he lives in California. So you're 4 for 4 Connor.
Yeah.
And we're about to get another American in on the conversation, a locker room always cheating legend, Andrew Searles, who is an American hailing from the shores of Spain. And Andrew, talk to us.
Does he support Arsenal and Real Madrid?
That is me.
Are they flying these Cesar Azpilicueta flags in the streets now, Andrew?
You know, I've heard that in all the local hospitals, every newborn child has been named Cesar.
Or Dave.
Dave.
Andrew S., we finally meet.
Yeah, very nice to hear your voice and see your profile picture, Red Dagger.
Thank you very much.
Now to bring a little bit of the locker room lore into the podcast feed. Andrew is our chief drinker of alcohol. So Andrew, while you're watching the UCL final, what are you drinking?
Well, you know, something that's going to take a twist on this.
Heineken?
I did not have alcohol while I was watching. I was here in Spain. I thought about going to a tapas bar. But I said this is a very English game. And I live in, as I've said before, the Florida of Europe. There's tons of English people. So I was like, I'm going to go to an English bar to watch this game. And there's this very nice old man named Tony, who's like probably 80-something and is a big Arsenal fan. So we get along. We've watched some games before. He's kind of like the soccer-loving granddad that I never had. And he was having a cup of tea, so I was like, give me what Tony's having. So,
hey, Andrew, how are you doing? How are you doing today?
Me?
Yeah, how you doing?
Oh, I had a great day. I had some of my students threw me a goodbye party, actually.
Oh,
so
wow. I like how Connor is functioning as the bartender you wish you had. Andrew is just kind of asking how you're doing, looking after you.
I just have to say, I think I'm a little bit too young for that.
I want to go back to this low stake. I want to go back to this low stakes sports gambling for a minute, because I am so glad I did not have this when I was younger. It's coming to New York soon, and I had a great time doing it today. But I really would have it would have been awful had I had this when I was a kid. It's way too, like, I was betting on everything. I tossed in some late bets. I had Ben Chilwell at 11-1. I had Ilkay Gundogan on the board. I had both teams to score. In a Man City.
Were you in a casino?
Great. No, in New Jersey, you could just pull up an app and just bet. And like, if you're in the region, like if you're in New Jersey, then you can just bet no matter what part of the country you're from.
Oh, that's awesome.
Josh, great. Have you seen Uncut Gems?
I have. That's how I thought. Yeah, I felt like Adam Sandler today. I mean, granted, I was betting like $3 on all of these results, but it was still
right.
It was still, you know, I'm still feeling it. Although James Bishop, I have to tell you, I did buy the infamous Eames chair that I have been talking about. So I
nice,
I,
good man.
Yeah.
I wait, just so, wait. Is James Red Dagger? Am I representing that?
Yes, yeah, that's right.
Okay, okay.
Josh, did you get a new one or a used one?
I got a used one, but it's from Design Within Reach originally. It's like 3 years old. Fine. Yep.
Yeah. How much did you get it for?
I'd rather these, not these say. Like
native advertisements now baked into the locker room sessions.
No. Did you get the Ottoman as well?
I did. I got the Ottoman. I got the whole Eames lounge chair set. Yeah. We're recording this, so James, I will not tell you what I paid for it. I will DM you later and tell you what I spent.
I will say, just so you know, like anything less than about $3,000, then you scored.
Yep, yeah. Well, let's
what do you think is on the Conference League?
The Conference League?
Yeah, what do you think about it?
Small. Very small. It's a trap.
I hate it. I just don't like it. I think it's stupid. Like, I think, like, it's like, even for teams, like, I don't support them. Like, teams for Arsenal, they don't need it.
They don't. Let's bring it back to the Champions League final for just one moment, and then I want to move on to the championship playoffs.
And then
we can talk a little bit about what that means for the Premier League. But, Josh, I'll throw it to you first, and then everyone in the room, you can chime in. I want to know what you think Pep's starting 11 should have been. Who was on the pitch that shouldn't have been? I mean, obviously, the easy answer there is Raheem Sterling should not have been nowhere near the starting 11. Yeah. What about a player like Bernardo Silva, who didn't impact the game at all?
I mean, Silva's interesting because he's one of those players who, when he's functioning well, he kind of can be a little anonymous. Like, I don't think that's necessarily a ding on him. I probably would have gone with the – I'm not sure they needed to start with the forward, but I think I might have gone with that KDB in the kind of striker role, like the, you know, the kind of false nine role. I think they're really good when they play that way, with sort of KDB as the false nine, Foden on the left, Mahrez on the right, and then you'd have Gundogan and Fernandinho behind – yeah. And I just feel like that might have made a little more sense. I don't know. I don't know why they didn't go with a defensive midfielder. I mean, you could tell like almost immediately that it wasn't working because Timo Werner, you know, God love him. Like, the guy can't, you know, convert a chance, but like he got so many in that first half, and you were like, it was just so clear to me. You're like, he should have made a switch like 25 minutes of that match. Like, that's how clear it was.
Yeah, I really agree. And I think the problem for players like Bernardo Silva was they were just asked to do too much running. And I think Silva is so better employed far on the right or far on the left and having less defensive responsibilities with no DM. And Gundogan, I think, as we've seen in the Premier League season, has been so effective. Little bit farther forward, right? So, Connor, what do you think? Who were the? Give me two players on that field. Could you make a case to get Bernardo Silva still into that starting 11?
It's a tough one. I think Gundogan, he was so good in the Premier League this season, to be honest. I don't know, because they're going to need refreshments in the summer, I think. But yeah. I don't know, it's a tough one to say.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Now, James, Red Dagger, we've adopted you as an American now that you live in the greater Los Angeles area. Are you just brimming with pride now that we have an American Champions League winner? Like Captain America, right? You're just out there with your sparklers and your fireworks and your American flag in your front yard, right?
Absolutely. I'll make a bet right now with anyone that the USA wins the World Cup before England does.
That's such an English thing to say. You have so some of the best players in the world.
Do you want to talk about the championship or anything? Did you say championship?
Yeah, let's talk about the championship.
Yeah,
so,
first of all, before my dad, he actually supports Queen's Park Rangers, just letting you guys know. I know a lot about that club, actually. So I remember.
Well, I'm a Fulham supporter, Connor, so you can just get out of here with that nonsense.
And you support Fulham? Well, Fulham are a bunch of tea and crumpet tea, man.
Well, you know, you're not wrong. I would call us more wine-drinking geography teachers, but, you know, it's all a matter of perspective. We still have...
No, but I think, honestly, this is my opinion now. I think QPR, like, during the 2021 half of this season, I think they're the best team because they went from 19th to 9th. And they had a great run of form. But that's all from the signings during January, where they signed. Well, they didn't sign, they loaned. They got Chris Willick, Joe Willick's brother. They got Charlie Austin. They got DeVries. I think DeVries, I don't know. I don't really know. But they really did bring the team alight, and that's what they needed. And if they kind of keep these players, they would kind of be going around that same area next season. So maybe that 10th to 6th opportunity, and maybe their lucky playoffs. But the future will tell, as I said. But I'm just really happy because, you know, Brentford, I'm happy they got up because Ivan Toney, he sees one of the best strikers.
Yeah, I was happy for Brentford to get up too. Andrew, what do you think about Champions?
I felt like if Brentford didn't go up and Ivan Toney leaves, I feel like he's going to go to West Ham because I kind of feel like he fits into that team. Like I think him up front, I think that would work perfectly for them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Brentford has created quite a pipeline of their best players into the Premier League. Now they get to bring their cut-rate players into the Premier League. I'd set Brentford for a West Brom-style performance next season, but we'll see.
I hope they stay up.
Mm-hmm. All right, Andrew, do you have any thoughts on the Pep lineup for the Champions League final?
You know, there's one player. If there's any player on City who this year was topping the charts for looking lively, it was the Portuguese fullback, João Cancelo. And like Kyle Walker and Zinchenko are both obviously good, but I was certainly expecting Cancelo to get a run out. So, but I don't know. I mean, this City squad would have made sense to have a striker, like Paul said, but they just haven't played with one for so much of the season. So,
I have a controversial opinion, Andrew. I think João Cancelo has had perhaps the most overrated season of anyone in the Premier League.
Okay, listen.
Wait, who was that again? Who did you say was overrated?
João Cancelo for City.
João Cancelo. I don't know, because they have Kyle Walker, João Cancelo. You know, I think he did have a good season, but I think he's just a little bit overhyped, man.
Yeah, Connor's got my back here. I know who's going to have a hot take. It's going to be it's going to be Steven. Go on, Josh.
Oh, no, I think it was Andrew talking. But yeah,
Andrew. Sorry,
no, that's me.
Oh, God,
this is very confusing. But the point is this, right? The point is this: Cancelo and Fernandinho have been playing the majority of the season, and then you bench them for the final.
Yeah,
explain to me how that makes any sense. And what we're not talking about is the goal itself was a long chip from Mount, right, through the middle of the City defense, and nobody was there, and Havertz scores. It's an unsettled back four, and they got completely owned by that one pass. That was the game right there.
Yeah. It's an unsettled team entirely, insofar as Pep was able to roll that Premier League because he had such a deep squad and he could constantly rotate. And everyone is good enough to beat all of these Premier League mid-table teams. But when you get to the Champions League final, suddenly you don't have a settled team. You don't have a settled rhythm. He has to come up with some sort of, quote, genius way to play Chelsea. But when it comes down to it, he doesn't actually have any sort of ingrained mentality into 11 players where I think that team ought to have had, and then just steamroll that final. So I completely
agree with you. Like, how often does Zinchenko play? How many games did he play?
Often enough, and I think he's one of their better fullbacks. Sure. And I know he's basically kind of a midfielder by trade from Ukraine, but I think he made some really wonderful tackles during that match. But going forward, Kyle Walker and Zinchenko had terrible matches.
Exactly. All right, hey Brandon, I'm sorry to do this, but I'm on a family vacation right now, so I got to jump off this call. So I will see everybody later. And
hey, bye, Josh.
Nice talking to everybody, and I'll talk to y'all soon. All right, bye.
Hasta luego.
Well, we don't need Josh when we've got Paul Parsons joining the speakers bureau here. Paul, what was your take on the Champions League final today?
I just wanted to agree with Mr. Dagger, actually. I thought that ball through for Havertz doesn't happen with Fernandinho on the field. Really, really surprised with that lineup. I think that was almost a bit of a lack of respect from Pep for Chelsea's attacking capacity. Yeah. Kind of felt like he was going to be on the front foot the whole time. And, just another case of outthinking, outsmarting.
Hey, guys, sorry to interrupt, but I'm going to have to go now. Bye, guys.
Connor, thanks for joining the conversation.
Yeah, anytime, man. I really do appreciate my time to speak. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Yeah, Paul, great points. And then with Pep, I hate that Pep has outsmarted himself once again, because I wanted City to win this Champions League final, much in the way I was really glad that the Boston Red Sox won the World Series in what was that, the summer of 2003 or 2002, where I was like, thank goodness the Red Sox finally won the World Series so we can finally stop talking about how the Sox need to win this series. I am really tired of the narrative of how Pep needs to take this Man City club to a Champions League trophy. I wish they would have gotten it done today so that we could just move on from that narrative, almost so we could just move on from Manchester City altogether. Because I think this whole oil-run club has sort of run its course. And now with all of our favorite players like Aguero moving on, and Fernandinho is probably not long for this club, I think that we're ready for a new dynasty. So I just really wish we could have gotten to that milestone so we all could have moved on. I mean, is everyone else sick of this Pep City narrative?
Yeah, no, I mean, it certainly is. It's the same story every year, and it's interesting. I feel like Tuchel really has his number. He's now beaten Pep all three times with Chelsea in the FA Cup, and then in the league a few weeks ago, and now tonight. So it'll be interesting to see if Pep can sort of figure out a way next year, at least, to even get a win past Tuchel.
Andrew, you've provided us with a sublime segue, because I want to talk about next season in the Premier League. James, you're a Liverpool fan. Andrew, you're an Arsenal fan. Paul, who do you support?
Unfortunately.
Okay, so Paul, feel free to sit this one out, as I will as a Fulham supporter. But I do think it's shaping up to be a really compelling narrative for the Premier League next season. Chelsea have now the summer to kind of get their house in order, and I mean, I don't know who they need to buy. It's just sort of getting everyone on the same page. And now that they're Champions League winners, what more do you need to do? City still have all the money in the world. And then James, Liverpool have to be completely buoyed by their late season run, now back in the top four. I mean, do you think Liverpool have a chance of challenging for the title next season?
I think obviously we signed that one guy yesterday. I forget his name, the guy from Red Bull.
Sure, a central defender.
Center back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, to be honest with you, it's one of those things where, like, both Chelsea and Man City can afford to buy either Haaland or Kane. And either one of those teams buys either one of those players, they're going to win the league. Simple as that.
Yeah, I think. Right, and then where does Manchester United land in all that, though, James?
They can't afford to buy those players. You know, they basically, their fans will talk the talk, like they can buy Jadon Sancho or they can buy Harry Kane, but at the end of the day, history shows that they can't. Right, so I mean.
I'm not sure about that. They paid an ungodly amount of money for Alexis Sanchez. So if anyone's going to make
Harry
a stupid transfer, yes, exactly. Like, if anyone's going to make a stupid overpriced transfer decision, it's going to be Manchester United. I want to welcome Steven.
Yeah, but listen. Go on. Haaland and Kane are going to go for 150 million easy. I don't think Manchester United can go there. You know,
Kane has 3 years left on his contract. I don't. I feel like this hype train for a Kane move is maybe a little overhyped. I guess I should say. I'll be surprised if somebody actually does come in with that kind of money. Steven, welcome to the group. I want to know what you thought of the Champions League match today.
I thought Chelsea has their number and showed it today. I think Pep tried to outsmart himself. First half was all Chelsea. They tried to get on the front foot. Second half, Man City, but Chelsea's defense is just too good.
Yeah, it really was an incredible performance by the Chelsea defense. And beyond their organization, it was like they were so close to every City player. The moment a City attacker received the ball, there was a player on them.
Oh, they tried to get through Chelsea out wide, but they were like glued to them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we haven't mentioned Reece James once yet this show.
Great.
He had one of the best performances, right?
Oh, he was great. You know, and Sterling's quick, and James was right there with him. There was one time he almost beat him, but James was able to stick with him.
Yeah, quite a showing for English players, particularly the fullbacks with James and Chilwell. Chilwell sort of creates that pass for the space. Mount moves into the space. Chilwell is far enough up the pitch to receive the ball, lay it off to Mount to make that happen. I mean, England won the Champions League final today.
Yeah,
they really actually more than America. I don't know. I was so hoping that Pulisic was able to convert on that chance late in the game. I am not going to be the USA fanboy on this show who is like, oh, you know, we really needed that or something. But I take a certain amount of delight in the absolute, like, overblown nature of the media here in America, where – I think it was a friend of ours of the show, Elle Hardy, on her Twitter said, "I'm really looking forward to the halftime coverage of this match," to where the commentary will spin it to Kai Havertz, colleague of Christian Pulisic, who is an American, scores winning goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many notifications I got with, like, what does Zach Steffen being in the Champions League final mean for the USA?
Yes. American is going to win the Champions League today. You know, those are the two people.
It is kind of sad, though, that it wasn't Zach Steffen, because I feel like America built our house of soccer on the backs of goalkeepers. So it was really Steffen's trophy to win, and he blew it.
If
he had started it in goal, maybe it would have been a different story.
100% Steffen's fault today. He would have saved that.
I got in late, so I don't know if anybody talked about this, but you look at Tuchel, and what a mess is PSG. That he couldn't get those guys going because they don't want to get going. Then he comes to Chelsea, and he's got some players that want to work, and you see what happens.
It's true, and you look at Pochettino, who goes to PSG as well. Pochettino, one of the best managers in the world, and he's struggling with that squad as well. Right. And you do wonder if it's. I feel like if we're all in the like professional class, we've all worked at companies where you're just like from the top down, this is just not working. So I don't know if the ownership of PSG is just a little too distant to make that club actually sing.
I think it's a culture, and that. The owner has come in and he tried to put his foot down with Neymar, and that didn't last long.
I think Europe belongs to Villarreal and Chelsea. Etienne Capoue and Christian Pulisic now hold the two greatest trophies that Europe has to offer. So I think that is the perspective that we needed after this long and arduous club season. So I think that's as good a place as any to leave it. I do want to thank everyone for their contributions in the locker room session here. If you're listening on the podcast feed, you can find a locker room app available on the iPhone App Store. Join me and Josh here on a weekly basis where we're going to be doing chats all summer through the Euros. Yeah, so if you guys are watching the Euros and you want to come pop by and chat about what's going on, Always Cheating is going to be here. So
hey, I do have a question.
Steven, what do you got?
Is there any way you can like when you posted on Twitter that you're going to be on the locker room? It's pretty quick, so I don't know if we get a little bit more lead time on that.
I love the way you think, Steven. Yeah, I maybe we can endeavor to give you more of a heads up. It's sort of like when we start the locker room begins. But
But
if you follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, we'll definitely post. You know, usually an hour in advance. This is when we plan to be on. So, maybe set up those push notifications.
Okay. Good. Thanks.
Right on. All right, gang. Take care. Take it easy.
Brandon. Brandon. Yeah. What do you got? One other unrelated thing, but. Congrats on you to you guys for getting. I mean, this is like ad talk, but glad to know that you. Whenever you're suffering through a Fulham game, you reach for a Coors Light. Like that feels like a big time ad. Like that's pretty cool that you guys got that.
Thank you, Andrew. I don't like to talk about business, but we do love our sponsors, and it's great to see the podcast growing and us getting love from these big brands who have, quality products and it's great. Yeah. Love to see the podcast grow, and we would love to see Coors Light serving you on the beautiful sunny shores of Malaga, Spain.
If you want to reach out to them, they can, for one of these locker room recordings, I can always beautiful. Come on and say, when I'm watching the Premier League, I reach for a nice cold Coors Light.
Sometimes you just need to chill out, Andrew.
Yeah. Yes, the beer made to chill.
There you go. All right. Thanks, man. Poku forever. Bye-bye.